नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 50, Krishna establishes Dwaraka. Starting with text 12, we're going to be reading a few slokas today. Ayudani cha divyani,
ayudani cha divyani,
ayudani cha divyani,
ayudani cha divyani,
puranani yadrichaya,
Puranani
Yadrichaya,
Puranani Yadrichaya,
Dristvatani Rishikesha,
Dristvatani Rishikesha,
Dristvatani Rishikesha,
Dristvatani Rishikesha,
Sangashanam Mathabravit,
Sangashanam Mathabravit,
Sangashanam Mathabravit,
Sangashanam Mathabravit,
Ayudani cha Divyani, Puranani Yadrichaya, Dristvatani Rishikesha, Sangashanam Mathabravit,
Ayudani
cha Divyani,
Divine,
Puranani,
Ancient,
Yadrichaya,
automatically.
Rishtva, seeing. Tani,
them.
Rishikesha,
Lord Krishna.
Sangashanam, to Lord Balaram. Atta, then. Abravid, he spoke. Translation. The Lord's eternal divine weapons also appeared before him spontaneously. Seeing this, Sri Krishna, Lord of the senses, addressed Lord Sankarsan. Next 13 and 14. Pasyaya vyasanam praptam yadunam tvavatam prabhu eshate rat ayato dayitanya yudanicha Etat atam hinau janma sadhanam ishacama krit trayo vimsa tani kakyam bhume baram apakuru. The Supreme Lord said, my respected elder brother, see this danger which has beset our dependents, the Yadus, and see, dear master, how your personal chariot and favorite weapons have come before you. The purpose for which we have taken birth, my Lord, is to secure the welfare of our devotees. Please now remove from the earth the burden of these 23 armies. I always like the way, every time how people address one another. It's so cultured. If you remember, before you watch all these period movies from maybe 100 to 50 years ago, 200 years ago, they always address the governor or the king, oh my lord, and you know, throughout the sentence, it was nice culture. Nowadays, it's like, hey mate, what's up mate? Like, really, gross. It's supposed to be a friendly term, but it just don't sounds right.
Oi.
Oi! Next 15. Evan samarjya dasa huau sam dam sitao ratinao purat nijak matu swayu dhatyao balina piyasa vritao. After Lord Krishna had thus invited his brother, the two dasahas, Krishna and Balaram, wearing armor and displaying their resplendent weapons, drove out of the city in their chariots. Only a very small contingent of soldiers accompanied them. Well, here they are facing 23 armies, 23 Akshahinis. It's a huge amount of soldiers. And Krishna Balaram just went out with a small contingent of soldiers. Next 16.
Sankam Datma Vinirgatya Hari Daruka Sarati Tato Bhut Parasanyanam Riti Vitra Savepatu.
As Lord Krishna came out of the city with Daruka at the reins of his chariot, he blew his conch shell, and the enemy soldiers' hearts began to tremble with fear. Didn't that sound familiar? At the beginning of the Kurukshetra, when the Pandavas and Krishna blow the conch shell, then the other side, the armies, they started trembling with fear. Heart becomes shaken. Next 17.
Tavaha magado viksya hey Krishna purusadama natvaya yodam ichami bale naikena rajaya gupte nahi tvaya manda na yose yahi banduhan.
Jarasandha looked at the two of them and said, O Krishna, lowest of men, I do not wish to fight alone with you, since it would be a shame to fight with a mere boy. You fool who keep yourself hidden, O murderer of your relatives, go away. I will not fight with you. Purport. Sri Sridhar Swami has interpreted Jarasandha's words as follows. Purusha Adama can be understood as Purusha Adama, Yasmat, meaning Krishna to whom all men are inferior. In other words, here, Lord Krishna is being addressed as O Purushottam, best of living beings. Similarly, the word Guptena, hidden, indicates Lord Krishna's aspect of being in everyone's heart and invisible to material vision. The words Tvaya Manda can also be divided. According to Sanskrit grammar, as Tvaya Amanda, in this case, Jarasandha is indicating that Krishna is not foolish, but rather most alert. The word Bandhu was used by Jarasandha in the sense of relative, since Lord Krishna killed his maternal uncle, Kamsa. However, Bandhu comes from the word Ban, to bind, and therefore Banduhan can be understood as one who destroys the bondage of ignorance. Similarly, the word Yahi, please go, indicates that Lord Krishna should approach the living beings and bless them to become Krishna conscious.
Om Agyana Timrandasya Gananjana Salakaya Shakshamritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasadale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Namne Namaste Sarasati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nivisesa Sanyavadi Pasachade Shatarine.
So here in this part of Bhagavatam we can see the indication of how although Jarasandha is a very, very powerful king. In normal terms, when someone is so powerful, he's very much respected. And in some cases, even worshipped. That's what people nowadays do. Anyone in this world who possesses a little bit of opulence, whether it may be some strength or some wealth, some beauty, some power, some knowledge, or even some renunciation, or some abilities, people worship them. They offer a lot of respect to them and they worship them. But even though he's so powerful, because he was envious of Krishna, he could not appreciate the transcendental qualities of Krishna. So I say in Bhagavad Gita that is such people, they are known as mudhas. They are known avajananti mam mudha manusim tanumasitam param bhavam ajanato mama bhuta maheshwaram. So Krishna said, fools that deride me when I descend in my human form. They do not know my transcendental nature as the Supreme Lord of all that be. So here he's thinking, Krishna, you're just an ordinary boy, a mere boy. And it would be shameful for me to fight with you. And he was calling Krishna all kinds of names. That's the nature of the demons. Because they do not understand who Krishna is, they tend to deride him. So in this world, there are two classes of men. The divine, those who possess divine nature, and those who have demonic nature. Those who possess demonic nature, their whole goal in life is to deride the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They challenge or they compete with him, or they try to usurp his position as the Supreme Controller and Supreme Enjoyer. So someone may be a big demon like Jarasandha, others may be small demons trying to usurp. Actually, anytime someone tries to act independent of Krishna or try to act as the Supreme Controller or Supreme Enjoyer in whatever little ways it may be, they've actually been influenced by the demonic nature. They're acting inimical towards the Supreme Lord. So these are fools. Whereas some people may worship such people to be great personalities, but Krishna categorized them as fools, mutha, an ass, because they do not know. We see also in the case of Shishupal. His whole purpose in life, actually, is to insult Krishna right from birth. Right from birth, his goal is to insult Krishna. It was actually predicted. And Shishupal is actually a cousin of Krishna. And his aunt, Krishna's aunt, was worried that Krishna would kill him. So he made Krishna promise not to kill him. And Krishna said that, I'll tolerate his insult or blasphemy 100 times, right? And from day one, he was the 100 was counting. 1, 2, 3. So here, Jarasandha is addressing Krishna as Purusadama, but the Acharyas, Sridhar Swami. Actually, this is interesting. The demons, they may try to insult Krishna by their words, but the Acharyas, the devotees, they will translate the words differently. There was also similar situation in the, I think it must be third canto, in the case of Hiranyaksha and Varahadev. Hiranyaksha was also again in insulting Varahadev in so many different words, calling him like something like old creature of the sea or something. And again, Sridhar Swami was changing the word into praise of Krishna. So here, Jarasandha wanted to address Krishna as Purusadama, the lowest among men. But Sridhar Swami translated Purusha Adama Yasmat, meaning Krishna, to whom all men are inferior, or Purushottam, best of living beings. So, even in the assembly of Maharaj Yudhisthira, when he was crowned as the emperor of the world, he was performing his Rajasuya sacrifice. The best or greatest personality was to be worshipped first. So there were a lot of great personalities there, like Bhishma Dev, Dronacharya. And somehow in the assembly, it was unanimously agreed that Krishna was to be the person to receive the first worship. And of course, Shishupal was there, and he took offense. He stood up and spoke that how insolent Krishna is that he dared to accept this first worship. Again, it was insulting him in so many different ways. Nobody even know his caste. He was born in a Kshatriya family, but he grew up with with a vicious, coward man. So in this way he was insulting him. And it's a fact. Although Krishna said, I created this system of Manasham, of Brahma, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Sudra, he is not bound by it. And we see even in his appearance, he acted in all four different manner. He was acting as Kshatriya, like here he's acting in the role of a Kshatriya. But when he was small, he was taking care of the cows, cow protection, which is the duties of the Vaishyas. He was driving the chariot of Arjuna, which is the job of the Sudra. And before that, he was speaking Bhagavad Gita, giving knowledge as a Brahmana. He's not bound. He's acting in any roles he wants. So, but Shishupal, he could not appreciate that. He was keep on insulting, and Krishna was counting. 95, 96, 97, 98, 99. The last one, Sudarshan Chakra came. And soon after that, Shishupal's head was not on his neck anymore. He was rolling on the floor. So this is the difference. The demons, they will never appreciate. They can never appreciate because their eyes are covered with ignorance, because their eyes are covered with envy. They cannot appreciate the personality of Godhead. Either they insult him, ignore him, or they'll insult him by saying, yes, the absolute truth is impersonal. It was interesting, I was reading the Bhagavatam, introduction of the Bhagavatam, and it shows the real mission of Srila Prabhupada. You know, we say in our prayer, Prabhupada Pranam, how he came to destroy impersonalism and voidism. And right in the beginning of the introduction, he was saying the conception of God and the Absolute Truth is not on the same level. Whereas the conception of God refers to the controller. The Absolute Truth refers to the summon bonum, the source of all energies. So when he talked about controller, he went on to say, there may be so many controllers, so many different controllers. But when you talk about summon bonum, it means the ultimate, the source of everything, source, cause of all causes. Ishvara Parama Krishna Sachit Ananda Vigraha Anadi Adi Govinda Sava Karana Karanam. Krishna is Parameshwara, the supreme controller, and he's as a body of Sachit Ananda Vigraha, a form. The word Vigraha is important. It refers to the form of Krishna as Sachit Ananda, eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. And he's unborn, the original coward boy, and Sava Karana Karanam is the cause of all causes. In the Bhagavad Gita, he also said, I am the cause of all the spiritual and the material world. Everything comes from me. So then, again, immediately in the first, I think it was practically the first paragraph, Prabhupada already getting into tearing up the Mayavadis, how they say things are impersonal, and how can they be impersonal? And it went on and on. So when I read that, I thought, it's amazing. Just right from the beginning, Prabhupada was no holds barred. Just right on. Smash Mayavadi philosophy. So actually, Krishna is Purushottam, the best of living beings. Although he appeared as a human being, his activities were not human, he's superhuman. Because no ordinary child, even right from birth, he was killing demons. He could barely walk, he just feel basically a few days old. He killed Putana by sucking out, drinking her breast milk and sucking out her life air. He was killed Trinavrata. So many demons he was killing when he was a small child. And a small child lifting up Govardhan Hill. How can that be an ordinary man? And another word Jarasandha used is guptena, hidden. And Sri Sridhar Swami indicates, yes, Lord Krishna is hidden in everyone's heart. And it is invisible to material vision. I heard someone was saying that once the the scientists, they're trying to break down the trying to understand life, and because they cannot see the soul, they say there's no soul. And even the Chinese, once they got this Charakram Shilam, they break up the stone just to get some, I think inside there's some silver or gold or whatever, something. And they claim this is just ordinary stones. Why they are worshipping as supreme. So for the 80s, they want to see Krishna as stone. Krishna always just remain as like stone to them. Krishna is remain hidden from the vision. Even when Krishna appeared directly in front of them, if they do not have the vision, if their heart is envious, they were not able to see Krishna. They will just see this is just another ordinary person, an ordinary boy. We have here Krishna standing in front of Jarasandha. But Jarasandha could not appreciate, here is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, let me surrender to Him. So therefore sometimes people they claim, you say, if there is a God, show Him to me. If you can show me God, then I will accept and I will surrender. Not necessarily. Unless one's heart is purified, he cannot appreciate. Even towards the, just before the beginning of the battle of Kurukshetra, Krishna went to see Duryodhana. That's the last attempt to try to avoid the war. And Krishna showed him the universal form, a version of the universal form. And Duryodhana thought, Krishna is just making his tricks, magician, and trying to frighten me with this form. I'm not frightened, I'm not scared. So Krishna showed his universal form, yet Duryodhana was not very appreciative of it. So it is not that when Krishna may be standing in front of someone that immediately they say, I will surrender unto you. No. One's heart has to be purified to be able to appreciate. As long as there is enviousness in the heart, we cannot appreciate the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And what is this enviousness? This enviousness means Krishna has, I don't have. Why Krishna is the controller? Why is Krishna the enjoyer? Why not me? Why is Krishna the center of the universe? Why not me? What's so great about Krishna? I'm also great. That's the thinking of the demons. Ishwara ham aham bogi sudhavan balavan sukhi. Sidaham salavan balavan sukhi. I'm the controller, Ishwara. I'm happy. I'm good. I'm perfect. I'm Siddha. I'm strong. So they think like that. So with this kind of attitude, they will never be able to appreciate Krishna, and Krishna will remain hidden from them. They will not have the eyes to see. Even when Arjuna wanted to see Krishna's universal form, Krishna said, you do not have the eyes to see, but I'll give you the eyes to see. I give you the eyes, and with the eyes, vision that Krishna gave me, was able to see the universal form. Of course, Arjuna was didn't like that too much. He said, "I prefer to see your two-arm form standing before me." Then Krishna changed to the four-arm form, and then to the two-arm form. So when the devotee's eyes became tinged with the ointment of love, Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena Santa Shadaiva Vidayet Vilokayanti Yam Shyama Sindaram Achincha Gunas Rupam Govindam Adipurisham Tamaham Bhajani. When one's eyes is tinged with the ointment of love, then one is able to see Shyamasundara, the form of Shyamasundara standing before him. And therefore Lord Brahma said, I offer my obeisance unto the Supreme, Govinda, the Supreme Person of Godhead. And here, Tvaya Manda, Jarasandha is saying, Tvaya Manda, referring to him as foolish. But it can also mean Tvaya Amanda. Instead of foolish, he's actually very alert. How alert can that be? Krishna was very alert. If he's foolish, he will not be doing what he's doing. What he's been doing is actually showing how intelligent and how alert he is to the situation. And he was considering, Jarasandha is attacking me. What should I do? Should I kill him? Or should I and take his army? Or should I kill him and his army? Or should I just kill his army? And I thought, wow, my mission here is to relieve the burden of Mother Earth from all this military arrangement. So let me kill all his army. Let him go. Because he will come back with another army. You don't have to go searching for it. He will come back to my doorstep again and again. So how can that be foolish? Krishna was acting very, very intelligently. So instead of going searching out, let them come to me. And Bandhu, which means relative, just like we use the word Brahma Bandhu or Brahmana Bandhu? Brahmana Bandhu or Bandhu? Brahmana Bandhu? Brahmana Bandhu. Someone who may be born in a Brahmana family, but not necessary. Dvija.
Brahmana Bandhu is also.
Also, right? Yeah. He may be born. It may be a relative. Bandhu also means relative. It may also be relative of the Brahmana or Dvija, the twice born. But that does not necessarily or automatically qualify the person as a Brahmana. Actually, this is one of the main cause of the decline of the Varnashram system in India. And this was so-called caste system, whereby one is born. One is one claims to be belonging to a certain caste or varna by birth. And I'm born in a Brahmana family, so I'm Brahmana. I'll never forget that one time when I was must be back in the early 80s. We used to have this candle. Do you ever sell this candle in Australia? This calf candles. So we had a candle factory where we make these candles, calf candles. And there was this one Indian chap. He works there in the candle factory, deep or this candle in different and carving them. That was the only one time I visited that factory. I was talking to him and he was trying to impress. I was quite, just a few years old devotee. And he was trying to impress upon me that he was born in a Brahmana family. And he was quite proud of it. I'm a Brahmana. I'm born in a Brahmana family. And he showed me his thick Brahmin thread. And of course the Brahmin thread was quite dirty, working in a factory like that. And the first thing that crossed my mind is that, you're a Brahmana, what are you doing here? Working as a Sudra. What are you doing? So one may be very proud that I'm a Brahmana. Sometimes devotees in the early days were also doing that. When they went to India, they were very proud of their Brahminical status. They called it the Iskon Brahmin tray. long Brahmin tray sticking out from their kuta, longer than the kuta sticking out. But then in the early days, because they were not well trained, they were not behaving very well. When they came to Vrindavan, and Prabhupada was not too happy about that, Prabhupada was chastising them, correcting them, their behavior. When they first came to India, sometimes they were on the rickshaw himself, sitting behind the rickshaw, they will say, get the rickshaw driver to sit behind the rickshaw, and they will riding on the rickshaw. And so some of the inhabitants were coming to Prabhupada and complained, so what are your disciples doing? So Prabhupada corrected them. No, you're all walking around like brahmanas, but then how can you behave like that? So Dvija Bandhu, or Brahman Bandhu, they may be born in brahmana family, but that does not necessarily mean that they have the qualification to be a brahmana. So Krishna, he said in the Bhagavad Gita that the division is according to guna karma. Guna karma vibhagasa. Chatu vanyamaya shristam guna karma vibhagasa. This four division is divided according to guna, your quality and your activities, karma. Krishna never said janma karma. If you are born in a particular caste, then you belong to that caste. No, he's saying, it's according to your guna, your quality. If you claim to be a brahmana, you have the quality of brahmana. Are you acting according to brahmanika principles? And if you are kshatriya, are you acting according to kshatriya principles? That's explained in the Bhagavad Gita too. The different qualities of the brahmana, the kshatriya, the vaishya sudra. So one cannot claim that, oh, I'm a brahmana, and then he can just act whatever he like. And heard against some part of South India, the pujari, they like to have these big seekers. They have this half the back, the big seekers. So do their puja. After the puja, then they, when they go out, then they push up, cover, and then they look like an ordinary person. They may be smoking their BDs and doing whatever abominable activities. So that's not brahmana. And kshatriya, sometimes one like to be, oh, kshatriya. Kshatriya means Ishvara Bhava. I can control. I want to be kshatriya. I can control. Yes, you can control, but you also have to protect. That's what the word shat means. Kshatriya, to protect. Here you see Krishna is acting as a kshatriya. When Jarasandha attacked Mathura, the citizens were in fear. So Krishna and Balaram, they rode out of the city with just a small contingent of army to face the enemy. They are not afraid to fight. They are not afraid to die. Again, you see in the previous time, those are real. You see, still see some real warriors in previous time. These real kshatriyas. They're not afraid to go out and fight and die in the battlefield. They die for honor. That's what Krishna told Arjuna. Arjuna wanted to go away from the battlefield, go to the forest. And Krishna said, for one who has been honored, this honor is worse than death. What will people say about you? That you're running away from the battlefield. For that, this will be worse than death for you. So in the previous time, if they've been challenged, the kshatriya have been challenged, they'll stand up to it, they go out and fight for honor. To protect the citizens, or even to protect the family, they would rather die than to live in shame. So that's kshatriya. Now we insult a kshatriya. A brahmana, if he's been wrong, he can forgive. He may hold a grudge for a while and he forgave. But a kshatriya, if he has been wrong, very difficult for him to forgive. That's the case of Dronacharya and what's his name now? Drupad. Dronacharya and Drupad, they were in the Gurukul together and they were very good friends. And when they left, Drupad, out of affection, he offered Dronacharya and said, I'll offer you half my kingdom. And then they went away. So Dhruva became the king. And Dronacharya, one time he was very poor. So when he went to Drupad to ask for that gift that he promised him, and Drupad chose to forget. He said, "What gift? I didn't offer you and half my kingdom." And he insulted. He insulted Dronacharya. And Dronacharya went to the Kauravas and started training up the Kaurava princes, and then they defeated Drupad. And as far as Dronacharya was concerned, he took half his kingdom, what was meant for him, and he forgot about the matter. So, but Drupad, he didn't forget. He was hurt. Being a Kshatriya, he was hurt. He could not forget. He could not just let it go. And he performed a yagya, whereby Drishtadyumna appeared to kill Dronacharya. It was Drishtadyumna, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's different, the Brahman and the Kshatriya. Different quality. Again, guna karma. We see also in the case of Dhruva, Dhruva Maharaj. He was insulted by his stepmother. He was just a small child. He was insulted. And at the instruction of his mother, he went to the forest to look for Narayan, so they can get the benediction to have a kingdom bigger than his father. And along the way, he met Narada Muni. And Narada Muni told him, he said, "You're just a young boy. Why, you know, just forget about it. It's just the words of a woman. Why you take it so seriously?" He said, "My dear sage, you may be giving good advice, but I'm a Kshatriya. I cannot appreciate this advice. I've been hurt, I've been insulted. I have to do something about it." And Narada Muni was amazed by the strong feelings of the Kshatriya. Just some words of insult, and they go to such extreme to rectify that what they felt has they have been wrong. So here, Sri Sridhar Swami said, bandhu comes with ban, to bind. So he said, bandhuhan can be understood as one who destroys the bondage of ignorance. So he refers to Krishna as one who can destroy the bondage of ignorance. Krishna is situated within the heart of every living entity. And for one who worships him with love, Krishna will give the guidance by which they can come to me, he said. And he says, situated within the heart, I'll dispel the darkness of ignorance with the torchlight of knowledge. So in this way, Krishna can dispel the ignorance. And he stated in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, wherever there is Krishna, Krishna is like the sun. Wherever there is Krishna, there is no darkness. Maya is like darkness. So darkness can exist when there is no sun. But when the sun is present, the darkness is dispelled. So, in the sixth canto, Bhagavatam also in the beginning of sixth canto, Maharaj Parikshit was asking Shukadev Goswami, because Shukadev Goswami had just explained the destination of the people who are sinful. He described the different hells. And Maharaj Parikshit, being a very compassionate Vaishnava, he was asking, how can all these people be delivered from such hellish destination and such ignorance? So Shukadev Goswami was testing him. He said, one should perform austerity, one should perform activities to nullify the sinful reaction and all this, so on and so forth. And Maharaj Parikshit just rejected them one after another. He said, "It may be good, but then what will prevent them from again committing sins?" Then Shukadeva Goswami said, "Kechik kevala bhakta vasudeva parayana Oh, that was so long. They say, anyway, Kechit Kevala Bhaktiya Vasudeva Prana. It's very, very rare for someone who actually surrender to Krishna. Because by such surrender, then the darkness can be completely removed. It's just like the sun. When the sun appears, even the fogs, it becomes dissipated. All the darkness of night becomes dissipated, the fogs also, and everything becomes very clear. So Krishna can destroy ignorance by his presence. And he can illuminate one's heart with the torchlight of knowledge. And the word Yahi, please go, indicates that Lord Krishna should approach the living beings and bless them to become Krishna conscious. Just go up and bless everyone. That's what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did. Just try to consider this point. What Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's the supreme personality of Godhead. Now, he's a supreme enjoyer. So as a householder, he started teaching. When he was teaching Sanskrit, his Sanskrit was just names of Krishna. And sometimes in the mood, when he was in ecstatic mood, he was just calling out the name of the gopis. And his students, who were just about his age, because he was very young when he started teaching, there was not so much younger than him, they dared to approach him and say, why are you getting more sentimental? Why are you calling out the name of gopis? You should be chanting the name of Krishna instead. So again, one is ignorant, is not able to appreciate the position of the Supreme Personality, the Godhead, and his mood. It's just like Madhavendra Puri. Madhavendra Puri, towards the end of his life, he was singing this song referring to the gopis, Radharani bringing Krishna back to Vrindavan. You know, the Rath Yatra? And he was in this mood, he was chanting this, singing this song. And one of his disciples, what's the name of this disciple again? Ramachandra Puri. He was serving his spiritual master and he started criticizing, giving instruction. He said, my dear Guru, are you getting sentimental in your old age? Why are you chanting this sentimental song? You should be thinking of Krishna, he said. And Madhavendra Puri chased him out. And because of this offensive attitude towards the Guru Aparat, he committed Vaishnava Aparat, became a fault finder, so much so that you won't find fault with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So these students were also criticizing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu thought, see, my mission here is to deliver these people, so it's not good that they are, you know, not respecting me as such. So he contemplated, I should take sannyas. Even at that time, 500 years ago, sannyasis were respected. When anyone sees a sannyasi, they offer the respect. So he thought, if I take sannyas, then these people who are criticizing me, they will also offer respect to me. In this way, they will make advancement. They will become purified. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the supreme enjoyer, who is supposed to be served with all kinds of opulences and such, he took sannyas. He took the position of a renunciant just to deliver the conditioned soul. How compassionate is that? How kind is that? How can anyone make this such claim that there's so much suffering in this world? So how can there be a God? If a God is kind, how can they allow this suffering to go on? And how this and how that? They're just ignorant. Ignorant of the position of the Supreme Personality of God and actually how compassionate it is. Like we said 2 days ago, people just not want to take responsibility. They always want to put the blame on others. They do not want to take responsibility that it is because of my sinful activities and it is because of the cumulative sinful activities of people, we find all these natural disasters going on. Actually, it's unnatural. I don't know why they call it natural. And maybe because it's come from nature. But it's unnatural, all these disasters. And it's becoming more and more. More and more. When I was in Malaysia recently, I was reading an article that explains that in the big cities, like in Kuala Lumpur and a few other big cities, the temperature is like 4 or 5 degrees more than the rural areas. Because they're cutting down so many trees to build houses. And it's just a city just filled with concrete. And the concrete just absorbs the heat. And in the evening time, it's also hot. Even the evening is 25, 27 degrees. It used to be quite cool in the evening, about 22, 23, but now it's warmer. So it's because of the activities of people, and they do not want to take responsibility for it. They always want to blame others, and they blame the Supreme Personality of Godhead for all their problems. But just see how compassionate Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is. Even though he's a supreme enjoyer, he takes the position of a renunciant. One of the qualities of Krishna is that he has beautiful locks of hair, curly hair, beautiful locks of hair. And he shaved his head as a sannyasi, just to deliver the conditioned soul. How compassionate is that? That's why it's known as Patita Pavan, the deliverer of the most fallen. Rupa Goswami said, Namo Mahavadaniya Krishna Prema Padati, Krishna Krishna Chaitanya Namni Gora Tvisi Namaha. He said, there may be so many incarnations, so many avatars, but this appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the most magnanimous of all the avatars. Most magnanimous. And how fortunate we are that we are born, we are here, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared just about, well, he appeared 1486, 520 years ago, 521 years ago. And around the time when Christopher Columbus so-called discovered America, people read about Christopher Columbus in the school books. But why don't they read about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Came to deliver everyone. So we are actually very, very fortunate. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared just recently, and his Sankirtan movement is still going on. Therefore, we should. Devaratma Maharaj once said that it is the most, we are most fortunate actually to have this Sankirtan movement happening now. And if someone who has received this gift of Harinam and then walk away from it, is to be the most unfortunate, that even the stones and the rocks will cry out of pity for such a person. Rocks and stones then don't have much feeling, but they, even they become touched, saddened, that someone who has been so fortunate by their foolishness and misfortune becomes so unfortunate to just walk away or to not take it so seriously. That's the most unfortunate. So thank you very much. And then first we'll ask Mahatma Prabhu for some comments. If you have any comments, something to add? Any questions? Yes, Prabhu.
It's interesting. Columbus came here and then to Chicago.
Yeah.
My teacher was telling me actually.
Who was that?
My teacher in Bible.
Yeah.
She was telling me. She was telling me how she was saying that how Columbus, he wanted to discover, he wanted to show that the world was round.
Yeah.
So he was thinking that he, because India was a major cultural place, so he was thinking instead of going towards India and then around, he he might go other way to come towards India. And he one of the reasons he wanted to go to India is he heard there was a golden man. That Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he heard and he wanted to see him. But he went to South America, and he went to America, and he saw some Indian looking people, he called them Indians. Thought he was in India.
He thought he was in India. But he didn't find the golden man there. Yep, unfortunate. Krishna remained hidden. Yeah? So how fortunate we are. We don't have to travel around the world to find. Actually, I have to. I had to travel practically half the world to find Krishna. Although I was not looking. I had to travel from Malaysia all the way to Sweden to find Krishna there. And some Indians don't find Krishna in India. They travel all the way to Melbourne to find Krishna. So it's also half the world. They travel half the world. 11-12 hours travel. Come to the bottom of the earth to find Krishna.
Mahaprabhu gave you a wife also. Mahaprabhu gave you a wife also.
Yeah. That's right. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.